This is Infants on Thrones.
Minisode.
Here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail.
Welcome back to Infants on Thrones. I'm Glenn Ostlund, and today we're going to do something that I hope will be a continuing thing for us. It's called Ask an Infant. And we got this question from a listener we're going to call Katie. And Katie asked this.
Hi, infants. I really like your show a lot. Hey, could you tell me why is it that they call Good Friday Good Friday? Because today's Good Friday, and I don't know why they call it Good Friday. Could you tell me? Thanks.
Well, thanks, Katie. We'll be happy to tell you about the origin of Good Friday, or the etymology, which is a fancy word that means the origin of something. So here to explain this to us is none other than the most erudite historian we know, John Hamer. He gives us credibility everywhere, so he'll know the answer to this.
Why is Good Friday called Good Friday? That is an excellent question. And in fact, there has been quite a lot of excellent scholarship on the topic, although it's not very well known. But we actually have a very obscure manuscript detailing the very conversation held by the Roman soldiers at the time of the historical Jesus' death. You've probably heard of Josephus. Full name, Josephus Philippicus Sr., a historian who lived around that time. But have you heard of his third oldest son, Josephus Philippicus Jr.? According to his own account, he actually overheard a conversation between two Roman soldiers that went a little something like this.
Private?
Yes, Sergeant?
How is that whole crucifixion thing going? You know, with those two thieves flanking either side of that King of the Jews guy? How is that progressing?
It's progressing quite well, sir.
Okay. And you used nails instead of rope, right?
Sir, yes, sir.
Good, good. And the water sponge for his cracked lips?
Replaced it with vinegar, sir.
Good. And the crown of thorns?
On his head, and he's definitely bleeding.
Good, good. The spear in his side?
Pierced. He should be giving up that ghost any minute now, sir.
Excellent. Excellent, Private. You have done an excellent job. This has been an excellent Friday indeed.
Well, it could have been better, sir. We ran into a bit of a snag with the nails. We first nailed him through his palms, just like they taught us in crucifixion school. But, well, the bad news is that the nails started ripping through the palms, so we had to put stakes through his wrists. But the good news is, that holds him more securely, and it hurts a whole heck of a lot more, so...
Okay, so not so excellent, but still good. This has been a good Friday. A very good Friday, indeed. Tell the kids they can get out of school early today and start dyeing those eggs and getting their baskets ready.
Absolutely, sir. Will do.
From this, we can see that they were pretty darn happy with the whole execution thing. Which is to say, in other words, that they thought it was good. Josephus Jr. also recorded the following conversation between the guys who ran the Garden Tomb Inn, which ironically they found had plenty of vacancies at that time. The conversation between the innkeepers went a little something like this.
Worker!
Yes, boss?
Do you have that tomb sealed up?
Yes, sir.
Good. And the stone covering the mouth of the tomb, it's impossible for anyone to move it?
Ain't no one on this planet strong enough to move it. It would take an act of God to roll that thing away. Or at least a couple of angels.
Good, good. And the linen shroud he was wrapped in, you made sure that he got enough blood on that thing to preserve his image so that future generations will revere the shroud and keep it safely stored away in a shrine somewhere in Turin, Italy?
Absolutely, sir. We've got it all set up so that only some divine miraculous intervention could get that corpse out of there.
Good. This has been a very, very good Friday for you, hasn't it, Peonius? A very good Friday, indeed.
Yes, yes, sir. It's a good Friday. So, yeah, very good.
So once again, they saw the way things happened on that Friday, and they thought it was good. Or gudianha, as they said it back then. In Aramaic. Naturally. But Josephus Jr. is best known for the record that he made among the 12 apostles, as they began their little-understood three-day vigil, awaiting the historical Jesus' not-quite-as-historical return from the dead.
I don't think it was really him.
Come now, Thomas. Quit being such a doubting you.
But those ladies said that they saw him, and, well, that tombstone was just impossible to move. And besides, this whole resurrection thing was supposed to take 3 days, and it's only been, like, what, 25 hours?
Yes, that's true, but I don't think you're looking at this through the right eyes of faith. Think about it this way. Our Lord and Savior was executed 30 minutes before the sun went down on Friday evening. So it did happen on Friday, that's day one. Then, all day Saturday, that's 24 hours and nothing. And then, 30 minutes after the sun went down Saturday evening, which, by our calendar, is 30 minutes into the next day, Sunday. So, yes, on day three is when he was raised from the dead. So that is, technically, 3 days. So it's all good. If you look at it in the right way.
Whatever. I'm just glad that he died on Friday before the sun went down instead of dragging it into Saturday, because, you know, that's what the scriptures say, 3 days. And what if things don't go exactly the way they're prophesied in the scriptures? That would be horrible. That's just too much for my shelf.
Yes, it was very good that he fulfilled that prophecy.
Well, should we just go ahead and call it Good Friday then and see if it catches on?
Sure, Thomas. You doubting person, you. Why not?
But still, if it isn't really him, you owe me a Coke, right?
Sure, Thomas. I'll even make it a Diet Coke, just to stay within the parameters of the Word of Wisdom, which the world will soon forget all about, but will eventually be restored by an amazing, amazing prophet in the latter days.
Oh, we should give him free access to all of our women.
Yes, indeed. That would be good, too.
So you see, good all around. Very, very good. I'm John Hamer, erudite historian extraordinaire, the sole reason this whole infant group has any credibility whatsoever. And once again, I'm flexing historical muscles that the rest of you could only wish to have. And that's a pretty good thing too, right?
John Hamer says no.
Thank you, John, for flexing those muscles and leaving us all the better off for it. And thank you, Matt, who helped me come up with this idea on an awesome telephone call, but didn't have time to actually contribute to this. Matt, shout out. Good Glenn shout out. Katie, boy, thank you for calling in and leaving us that message and helping us with our first ever Ask an Infant episode. If there's other listeners out there who want to ask us questions, send us an email.
InfantsOnThrones@gmail.com and put Ask an Infant in the header, just like I did.
You can write it, or if you want to record yourself asking the question, we can use your voice like we used Katie's. And anyway, that's it. So what do we do at the end of these things? We say closing prayers on the night. Happy Easter, everyone.
Thank you for listening to
Infants on Thrones.
Infants on Thrones.